And welcome to my podcast. I have changed the name of this podcast since the first episode. And also, I took a lot longer to record the second episode than I would have liked to, but I'm here now, so let's get into it. In this episode, I'm going to talk about comprehensible input, how important it is, and how sometimes we might know that it's important but not actually use it the way that we should, and how you can overcome that and use comprehensible input to reach fluency. And I will also be talking about shadowing. It's sort of a similar thing with shadowing. I talk about how we kind of know that we should try shadowing, but it just seems too hard, and so we don't really do it, and how you can actually implement shadowing into your language learning practice. So let's get started. So starting off with comprehensible input, if you're listening to this podcast, there is a good chance you probably already know what comprehensible input is. So I won't bore you too much, just briefly, comprehensible input is when you are learning another language and you listen to content, in this case input, you are inputting the language into your brain, in that language that you can comprehend. It is comprehensible at least, 60%. The reason that comprehensible input is important is because you can't have output without input. A lot of the time when it comes to learning another language, people put a lot of emphasis on speaking. And that's totally true. You should be producing the language. You should be speaking the language. But you really can't speak the language unless you also hear the language, unless you absorb it. The reason for that is because the language comes from outside of us. It comes from an external source. Language, in this case English, already exists in the world. It's already a language. It's already spoken by billions of people. And it already exists outside of our head. And so for us to be able to speak in English, before we can start speaking in English, we have to put the language in our head, right? And in my opinion, and probably lots of other linguists' opinion, the best way to put a language in your head is to listen to it a lot. So if we take this idea that the language exists externally to us, and in order to absorb the language that we're learning and then be able to produce it ourselves, comprehensible input is like the best thing that we can do for our language skills. And the more comprehensible input we get, the better. And that's why podcasts are awesome. I mean, I try to tell my students all the time to listen to podcasts. And I think some of them take my advice and listen to podcasts. And I know all of them probably consume comprehensible input of some kind outside of class, like YouTube videos or TV shows or something like that. But podcasts are just awesome because you can put in your headphones, walk around, listen to English, and even if that English doesn't seem somehow challenging or educational, even if you're not technically quote-unquote learning while you're listening, that's still fine. In fact, in my personal opinion, that's even better. That's even better because I think the best case scenario is that you are enjoying yourself, that you're being entertained. If you're listening to English and it's entertaining for you, you're going to keep doing it. And even if, like I said, even if it doesn't seem that you're learning, you totally are. You are just absorbing the pattern, the rhythm of the language, and the words and expressions that that person uses into your brain in a natural way, you know? And then later in conversations, those words, expressions, intonations, pronunciations, all of those things will come out when you speak as well. That's why comprehensible input is so important, and that's why I recommend podcasts as the number one source of comprehensible input. Now, I mentioned before that I recommend this to a lot of my students, but somehow I get the feeling that not all of them listen to the podcasts that I recommend. Let me give a quick little anecdote about that. So I recommended a podcast to one of my students, and for one of our lesson plans, I actually gave him a specific episode to listen to outside of class. And then we would discuss that episode in class. And when we had class, I asked him, what did you think of the podcast? And he told me that the first thing he thought is when he opened his phone and went to listen to the podcast, he thought, oh my gosh, it's nearly an hour. And that comment kind of surprised me because for me, to see that a podcast lasts an hour is really not a deterrent. It doesn't really make me think, oh God, that's a lot. It doesn't feel like some kind of task or duty or obligation. And that's the thing, it never should be. The podcasts that I recommend to my students will always be fun anyways and cool and entertaining and interesting. And if you don't think so, then well, I will try to find some, you know, based on your interests or your needs. But yeah, they're supposed to be entertainment, not education. The education comes naturally, secondarily. The entertainment comes first. If you enjoy it, you're already fulfilling the purpose that you need to fulfill. And the education will happen in a very passive way without really even needing to try. So if you feel like maybe you're stuck in a rut and you really want to improve your English, maybe you should be listening to an hour of podcasts a day. I think you can find the time. You know, just put in your headphones and listen to 15 minutes while you're cleaning your kitchen. And then later you pause it and have to do some other stuff. Then on your lunch break, while you're eating your sandwich, you put in your headphones and listen to another 15 or 20 minutes. Then later, you know, maybe 20 or 30 minutes on your drive home from work. Throughout your day, in these moments where you don't really have anything to do and you're not speaking with anyone else, you can totally just be listening to podcasts. And I think it's in that way that I spent, I don't know, I have a YouTube video about this, about how much time I spent studying Spanish in the first year that I was learning Spanish. And I spent like, I don't know, maybe like 200 hours in the first year listening to podcasts. So that's how I did it. And I totally recommend it for anyone learning a language. Another way that you can improve your English on your own is through mimicking or shadowing. If you've spent time on the internet among language learning communities, places where you can get tips and tricks to help you learn a language, then you probably already know about mimicking or shadowing, or maybe you've tried it. Or maybe you know about it and you still haven't tried it yet. I'm willing to bet that there's a lot of you who are in this second category. And why is that? I'm speaking from my own personal experience, but I think that what I'm about to say probably applies for a lot of people. I think a lot of us who are learning another language know that we should probably be doing mimicking or shadowing, but we don't do it because somehow the barrier to entry seems very high. What I mean by that is it seems really complicated to set up. Not complicated to do, but complicated to set up. I remember one time I downloaded this guide that explains how to shadow to improve your pronunciation, and they really make it sound like the best possible way. So I was really like, yeah, I want my Spanish accent to be as like close to native as possible. So I was willing to try it. The process involved finding the audio, downloading it, using an editing software to edit the clips into like a very specific length. Then you would listen to these clips in a very specific way, repeat them in a very specific way, and all of this stuff. And honestly, this whole process was just so labor intensive. This is something that I ended up doing only like one or two times maximum, just because of how difficult it was to set up. The way that I practiced shadowing to improve my Spanish pronunciation, the way that actually worked for me and was easy enough to do that I was able to repeat it on a regular basis, was listening to the radio in my car and repeating after the person who was speaking. When I lived in the US, I spent a lot of time in my car because everything's pretty far apart, so I spent a lot of time driving. And during that time, I would play tons of podcasts in Spanish. A lot of the times I would listen to it just passively, just for entertainment and to be absorbing the language via comprehensible input. But sometimes I used this as an opportunity for shadowing. So I would turn the volume up, not too loud, but, you know, a little louder than I might be speaking, so that the volume of the speaker, the person speaking on the podcast, was a little bit higher than the volume of my voice. And I would repeat after the person who was speaking. So they were talking and I was mimicking them, maybe just one syllable behind them. In doing this, I was not aiming for perfection because I was trying to speak as fast as a native speaker was speaking. So it was sort of inevitable that I would make mistakes. So in this process, my goal was not perfection or accuracy with the actual words that I was saying, but rather accuracy in my intonation, my pitch, the melody, the rise and fall of my voice. I was trying to make the rhythm of what I was saying and my pronunciation sound like a native speaker. You'll be surprised how useful this activity is for you because, for me at least, because I wasn't worried about accuracy, sometimes I was kind of like stumbling over my words, but I was dedicated. I was like, okay, you know, like I'm getting a little tongue-tied here, but you know, I got to keep up with this native speaker. So boom, boom, boom. I let some things go. And by letting those things go and not worrying so much about how I sounded, somehow I was able to match their rhythm. And I really think that this was integral because then when I was speaking, I think that my rhythm and intonation improved a lot, as well as my pronunciation, because even if every consonant isn't perfect, when you're copying a native speaker, you should at least be getting the right vowel sounds with every syllable. So in short, comprehensible input is great, and so is shadowing, but shadowing does not need to be nearly as complicated as we might make it seem. It can be something really quick and easy that you do that does not take any time to set up or prepare for. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'm feeling really inspired, so I am definitely planning on coming out with some more episodes here in the near future. So please subscribe to me wherever you get your podcasts. You can also subscribe to my newsletter and find all kinds of cool resources about me on the internet. So I have a website, meredithspielman.com. I have a YouTube channel. I have this podcast you're listening to and the newsletter. And yeah, follow me, subscribe to me, and we will be hearing from each other again soon.